All right, 3 o'clock. Great to have you with us on a gorgeous Friday, and we can finally say the following: a football Friday. Every weekend from now through Valentine's Day, you will have football. Now, I can't promise you it's good football, but you will have football. Before we move to our unveiling of the playoff brackets. There will be many, David. I'm glad you said that. just ticket text from that. Rico is reeling. Rico's head was spinning from that segment. And we are just getting started. We haven't even hit the Big Ten phase of this team.
Seriously, man. It's like the library in your head. You just overworked that poor
college football was a love affair for me. College represented something that did not feel real. No one in my family had ever gone to school anywhere. So I fell in love with this sport because it was different and it was not like the NFL. And you had back then, Rico, like you said it, not everyone was on TV. And if they were, it was like this special thing to see, hey, this is Travis Prentice, Miami, Ohio. Like, this is the guy. And they play Northwestern and they're on the deuce. And you're like, this is amazing. Yeah. I loved the game until you ruined it. All right, David, ticket text, and then we're going to get to the brackets. Very excited about this.
Since Rico doesn't know any of these players, they have to be before black and white TV for him to remember.
That's not right now. He was busy getting six different degrees.
That is not right.
Do you want to do an off-brand MSU one? I can. Shout out Napoleon Outlaw. Wow. All right, let's go. I got plenty.
Someone says, so Divine and Deion weren't related, but Deion tried to be his legal guardian.
Okay. I knew it. His claim to fame was, I know Deion. Okay.
It was a big deal that he went to West Virginia. He was supposed to go to Alabama.
Can't believe Northern Illinois legend Jordan Lynch didn't make the list. That's Bryce in Temperance.
How about Michael the Burner Turner?
Oh, where was he? Was
NIU?
Yes.
OMG, Mike is the Rain Man of college football.
Yes.
That man deserves his Heisman vote, Sam, in a car.
He does. He is the Rain Man. If in that time period they didn't play for Miami, Notre Dame, or Florida State.
You're right. Yes.
You know those teams, because those were the three USC, most dominant
maybe.
Teams.
Yes.
But it got to a point with a couple of those players, like back when Marcus Harris and Alex Van Dyke were playing, halftime of those games, you'd get their highlight. They would show you this. It was like Zapruder film, standard def. It was just blurry. And here's, his 14th catch of the day. Dude, for a kid watching that, and you're going, these numbers are like video game. What is this?
No,
130 catches?
That was the genesis of the spread offense that only a few people were running.
Basketball on grass. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, someone is asking, how do you get 130 catches in a season?
It's nuts.
You line up five wide receivers and the other team panics because they're like, how do we cover five wide receivers? And nobody goes in motion. Like, I don't get this, coach.
I think that's also something, too, with football, David. You feel like we've run out of ideas. It's like the movie industry. We've made every movie. That's why everything's a sequel now. With football, it was crazy to live through an era where, like, wait, you can have four wide receivers on the field?
Yeah.
Wait, there's no one in the backfield.
Well, I think the latest one was the spread offense. That was the 10 years, 10, 15
years
ago. Like,
the first time you watched Joe Tiller and the basketball on grass thing, I probably sounded like Brandy. Oh, look at Larry Stevens. There's no running back anywhere. Right. What is this?
Right. And then it was Rich Rod's offense at West Virginia.
Wait a minute. What is all this motion?
Right.
This is crazy.
What are these little guys out there playing?
Steve Slayton and Pat White was theater.
It was.
Absolute theater. All right. Here are the rules for the bracket. You're big on receipts. So we're going to have some fun here. Now, I am going to be the master of ceremonies. I am going to present these. I have been handed your bracket, Kenny's and David's, of the new 12-team playoff. Don't get used to it, by the way. There's only 2 years of it because it's going to look different in 2 years. Nice sport.
32 teams. Just giving you – we talked about it on the phone last night.
So what we're going to do is this. I am going to present a bracket. The person whose bracket I present will have to explain their rationale for this. We're going to take you through it and see if we can crown a national champion. And then really it comes down to ticket texters and callers about who did it right, who did it wrong, what the agreement, disagreement is, all of it. I will admit, as much as I don't like the new world of college football, this does add a layer. It adds a talking point. It adds something to kind of sink your teeth into. Now, the one thing it's not going to do is there will never be an argument on this show about the number 13 team in America getting left out. You've taken that away. There's nothing to debate.
It'll always be a debate.
You have three losses.
Well, really, technically, it'll be the 12th team because you got to do the poverty team of the group of five.
Correct. As long as it's not Costa's team, I'll
so a 10-2 SEC team getting left out, we're talking about it.
You can have it. I don't care. You know what? I think even Kenny would agree. If you're 10-2 and your schedule is weak enough that a 10-2 SEC team is number 12 or 13 in America, you didn't play a schedule. That's how I view it. It just means more. So here's what we'll do. Guys, there's only one way. We have to start with Rico's bracket. He is the architect of the new college football. He has taken away so much from so many. We are going to start with Rico's bracket. Kenny and David, you are the peanut gallery. We will also have the ticket texts. We will also have the calls. I'm excited. Now, I haven't studied this. Let me just take a peek here. Oh. A couple exotic selections, Kenny. This is going to be fun.
Georgia gets upset in the first
round. No, there's no spite. Because remember, a real dinner, not a Kenny Cott dinner with paper plates and plastic forks. Real dinner, real silverware is on the line here.
Well, see, I think that in any event that I lost, I've already paid it forward to you guys. So you enjoyed those sandwiches earlier this week.
No.
As you did too.
Nope, wrong button.
You enjoyed that pizza earlier, didn't you?
The slice, yeah.
Gentlemen, please. Please. Next, the godfather of college football, Rico Beard, and his receipt-worthy bracket, 97.1. Okay, we have arrived. It is the eve of college football. Don't worry, we still have two more weeks of inane Lions conversations before they take the field. We have Florida State, Georgia Tech. We have SMU at Nevada. Come on, who's excited? But here's the deal. This is the first year of the 12-team playoff. No man has stumped for this more than Rico Beard. So we're going to lead with his bracket. David, you said you have some production. Jim Mora. All right. Let's start, as Rico puts it, with the poverty school, the 12 seed. Rico with a very sexy selection here. Out of the AAC, the Memphis Tigers.
Yeah, Mike, when you look at Memphis' schedule, I think they're going to play
Florida State.
That's it. The reason why I chose Memphis over Boise State, because I think Memphis can at least keep the game closer.
And can't have Pool Boy University in the playoffs.
Which will help them, because Boise State has to play Oregon, who I think will just take it to Boise State. So that score is going to be a lot worse. So when you look at, okay, you play one real team, and you were in the ballpark, that's going to give them the nod.
Yeah, you can't let Liberty in for a multitude of reasons.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. You didn't even consider Liberty because you said Memphis over Boise State.
Correct.
Okay.
Because Liberty's not playing anybody, David. To me, you're rewarding just somebody showing up to class and not turning in any work.
Or sitting in the corner of the bedroom. All right. The 5-seed. Memphis taking on Oregon.
The Oregon Ducks. I have Oregon because...
Yeah, at 5. This is very surprising.
Whoa. Well, because the conference champions get 1-4. So therefore, I think Oregon will be the best of the teams that was not the conference champion.
They don't win the Big Ten in your mind.
They do not win the Big Ten, but they are the best team, not a conference champion.
Let's go to the 8-9 matchup. The 9 seed. This is very surprising to me. Florida State.
Florida State, Mike. I think that Florida State has enough going for them. DJU at the quarterback. First of all, I think the NCAA and the College Football Committee kind of wants to say, we're sorry for leaving you out. So if they're close, they're going to be in. I think that they will end up finishing second in the ACC.
Playing the 8 seed, the Penn State Nittany Lions.
Penn State has really two tough games.
And they'll lose them both and still make the playoffs.
And one I don't even think is a tough game. I think they'll lose Ohio State at home. And they go on the road to USC. Let's just say they do lose them both. They're 10-2. That will be enough to get them.
All right. The 11 seed, the LSU Tigers.
Oh, wow.
I like the LSU Tigers. You got Ole Miss at home. You get Bama at home. You get Oklahoma at home. You're on the road at A&M, and you're on the road at Florida. But Florida is late in the season, and by that time, they could have fired their coach.
And it produces a matchup where Kenny will be able to sit at home with his pants around his ankles and root for the meteor to take both teams out. The 6th seed, the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Kalen DeBoer, I think that he will get this Bama team where they need to be. They won't win the SEC, but I think that's still Alabama. They're still loaded with players.
The 10-7 matchup is a nerd fest. This is my favorite game of the first round by Rico Beard. The 10 seed, your Big 12 champion, Kansas State Wildcats.
No, Big 12 runner-ups.
Oh. Whoa. Timeout.
Kansas State still makes it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. This is good by Rico, and I want to apologize. K-State, why?
K-State, Mike, scheduling all of their tough opponents. Oklahoma State, Arizona, and Kansas, all ranked teams, all going to be played in Manhattan.
All right, and up next, caller Rob from Brighton will be making a baby in the front seat of his car. Notre Dame's in at 7.
Notre Dame, their schedule, very favorable. Yes, they lost their left tackle, but after they play their first game against A&M, their next toughest game will be Florida State at home.
All right, so let's carry Notre Dame through. We'll stay at the bottom of the bracket. You have the number 2 overall seed. I love this. Love. And if you listen to Cash the Ticket, you know I love this team. The number 2 seed, Utah Utes.
Number 2.
Wow. Number 2, because David, I think that Utah could run through the Big 12. And go undefeated.
You put some respect on Cam Rising's name.
If Rising is what we think that he's going to be, they're going to play a good enough defense. They could win the Big 12. They're going to be the Big 12 champions. And I can explain it later because I think the other teams in a certain conference will cannibalize each other.
Notre Dame, Utah, who wins?
I got Utah.
Talk about a slugfest, by the way. That Notre Dame defense is going to be good.
It is. But first team to 20 points.
The 3 seed, the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Ohio State is in the Big Ten, and I think they will have losses where I think Utah may go through 12-0 or 13-0, including their championship game. Ohio State's going to lose a game, at least, I think, one. So that's why I have the Buckeyes at 3.
They take on Alabama. You have OSU winning?
I do.
Why?
I think at this point, Ryan Day will be feeling the fire. He will know, okay, I need to do so. I got the team. I got the skill position players. Alabama, Kalen DeBoer, I think it'll be a good game, but I think that Ryan Day and Ohio State will have the edge in that game, especially because it's going to be played in Columbus.
The next one.
No, that'll be a bowl game. That'll be a regular bowl game. I'm sorry.
The next one represents James Franklin's funeral. Penn State taking on the number 1 overall seed, Georgia Bulldogs.
Think MSU, Alabama.
I'd prefer not to.
Playoff game. Kenny?
Or Georgia, Michigan.
How do you say it, Kenny? Orbital
ramming speed.
Yes. Orbital ramming speed.
Over, think drowning in your own toilet.
Over by halftime.
The number 4 seed, and I've never been prouder of the man to my left. He finally has agreed with me on something. The number 4 seed, the U.
They have just
a spoil of riches.
If they can't win the ACC,
they'll never win it.
The coach needs to be fired on the spot. Finishing second is unacceptable.
I was going to ask you, Rico, the coach is my big bugaboo with the U. Mario Cristobal, I think, likes to choke on his own tongue in a lot of games.
You can't. Like, this schedule is idiot-proof. Like, there are training wheels and bumper rails.
He's ACC James Franklin.
Oh.
Am I wrong?
Kenny, I think this is crystal ball proof. Their schedule.
Nothing, my friend, is crystal ball proof. Last year proved it.
But Miami takes on Oregon.
Oregon.
And you have who winning?
I have Oregon winning.
Now, this sets up a Final Four. So think about this world. I will give Rico credit in this regard, even though he's wrecked a lot of the sport. Look at the games we've gotten to see here. This is good stuff. You end up primarily in the same place, which is a little problematic for me, but that's fine. You end up with
one upset.
Oregon, Georgia, OSU, Utah. Oregon versus Georgia. Georgia wins.
Georgia wins. Yeah. Georgia just has too much talent. I think you'll probably see a game very similar to the Oregon-Washington Huskies games, where it'll go back and forth for a while, and then Georgia will just pull away.
OSU-Utah.
That one I went waffling back and forth
you
on.
You really like Will Howard, don't you?
I do. Well, I think that I like the fact that Chip Kelly's there. And I think Chip Kelly's going to take that offense and take it away from Ryan Day and come up with the key plays at the right time. And I got Ohio State winning that game.
And Georgia versus OSU for all the marbles, the rematch of the famous Marvin Harrison Jr. game.
And I think it goes the same way. Georgia kicks the field goal. They win the game. They're the national champions.
Doesn't it feel? Here's my thing. I think this is a rarity in the new era of college football where the top seed will win it. Georgia feels like two levels above everyone else, both with frontline talent and depth. I don't think in most years the number one overall is going to survive this crazy.
No. Yeah, it shouldn't be like that most years.
But
yeah.
I think there's a real shot for it to be formful this year. Would you agree?
I agree.
Okay, David. 248-539-9797. Rico's bracket is going up on the wall. Memphis, Oregon, Florida State, Penn State, LSU, Bama, KSU, ND, your top four seeds, Utah, Ohio State, Georgia, Miami, and UGA winning it all. Any criticisms, compliments, or anything in between, we'll get to the ticket text next. This goes on the wall now. Okay. This is in the dinner competition.
Right.
This is your college football. You all did
right.
It.
I got the backup right here.
So you did it.
We're good to go.
No, we're not taping your iPad to the wall. We'll use the paper.
I said I have the backup.
Okay.
In case.
97-1. All right, David, couple of ticket texts, and then just a couple of questions, right? Rico giving the bracket, and it just gives us a real look at how this will be structured and what the end of the regular season looks like. I mean, admittedly, I don't love this, but I'm not going to tell you that the games aren't interesting. Like, Rico's projections, and whether I agree or slightly disagree, he's off the hook because he's all aboard the Miami train this year. So, I mean, he's in my good graces. But, like, it is theater. It is a made-for-TV product. The problem is, at least on paper, and we'll only know once they start doing this, we ended up right in the same spot. It's as if you didn't have a playoff.
But we kind of end up that way anyway.
I know.
Most
I'm just
years.
Saying, we've just basically padded your friends at the network's pockets. But let's see what the people have to say. I don't have any real issue with your bracket. The only quibble, and I wasn't going to stop it because you were a freight train coming down the tracks, is the Oregon-OSU thing. Like, they play each other.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, if OSU is the higher seed, you're saying OSU's going to Outson and winning. I don't know about that.
No. I'm saying OSU's beating them in Indianapolis.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, also.
And that's why.
Big Ten championship game feels a lot less special.
And that, no, because that's why they're the 3 seed. Because, yeah, you got to be at least, you got to win that game to jump Miami.
Yeah. David, what did the ticket text have to say?
John in Auburn Hills says, hey guys, Oregon will be winning the Big Ten. As Mike says, they are built for the SEC, and Ryan's Day mine has been destroyed by Michigan.
You know, hold on. Can I say something real quick?
No.
Okay.
I'm kidding. Oh. I don't care.
Well, you know, we only say what you say.
Okay, then.
Hey, it's I will Tom. Say this. Here's the thing about Oregon. As much as as good as they were, Washington just went through them multiple times last year.
I'm aware. Okay? I lost betting on them twice. Thank you.
So, you know, and Ohio State, I think, will do kind of the same game plan against them. I think they'll lose. Ohio State will lose the first time around, but they will beat them in Indianapolis.
Rico needs to be drug tested. Will Howard sucks. That is Austin in Flint.
You know, I want to say this. I don't want to make a habit of this, but you guys get so riled up and say some of the meanest things in the world. Like, wait, why does Rico need to be drug tested for an opinion of, wait for it, okay, because, Ohio State in the playoffs?
No, because I'm giving Ohio State credit, and the majority of people listening are Michigan fans. How dare I think that Ohio State could win the Big Ten?
Dude, they spent $32 million this offseason. Like this,
so that's why. Okay. I get it. It's tribalism at its best, as you said yesterday.
So
if you're a Michigan fan, everything that I said you hate because I got Ohio State and I got Notre Dame in
or
there.
Or it's just real.
But here's the thing. Tell that texter, Odyssey Rewind, go back this morning, and you'll be able to have fun listening to what John predicted.
I don't even want to know. Probably best that I don't know.
Correct. I believe Michigan gets in 10-2, win over Texas, loses to Ohio State and Oregon. Also, don't sleep on NC State. Another one from Steve says, as a Buckeye fan, I hate it and love it, Rico. Love that you have us going to the championship game. Hate that you have us losing it.
Look, this Georgia team is out for blood. And there's no world they weren't one of the four best teams last year.
Yeah, they lost at the wrong
time. No, Kirby coached like a bitch, gave a free square to his old boss as a send-off.
I said it a better way, but
no,
yes.
No. I'm saying what Kenny said.
You just hate to see it.
No, it has nothing to do with Michigan. Michigan was in regardless. I'm making a point. There was no way UW should have been in over Georgia. But I understand it has to be played on the field at a certain point. And that's why they got in.
Georgia shouldn't be in the playoff.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh, call your buddy in Vegas and get the over-under on how many of Rico's teams make the playoffs. I'll say 6.5.
Let me see this. Since we're in the business of slandering Rico, I think the most difficult one to predict is going to be the 12.
Correct.
Right? So yes. Your poverty team. I like that he took a swing with Memphis. Hannigan's back for year 50. That offense will average 45. But let's just view the 12 that's got to just be a lotto ticket. Oregon, I say yes. FSU, I say no. Penn State, I say yes. LSU, no. Bama, yes. That's 3. Notre Dame, 4. I could give that. I don't believe in Kansas State. Miami, yes, 5. Georgia, yes, 6. OSU, yes, 7. Utah, 8. Set the over-under at 7.5. Does that seem fair?
No, it does. But the Kansas State, I just think
And it's a difference of opinion.
But the reason why, like going through this, I felt like I was going through one of your cast of ticket deep dives. They get all their tough games
at home. See, but you want no part of the vortex that it takes to put that crap together. Well,
I get to start doing some stuff next week, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. See, but here's the thing, Rico. Yeah. And we talked about this off the air. When you're selecting your playoff, 1 through 6 is probably easy.
It is.
Everything after that you can go through multiple people in this office and they all have 6 different answers.
No. Here's the thing. 1 is easy. After 1, I doubt that the 3 of us have the same top 4 in order.
You know one team that's missing from all of these?
Texas. Clemson. Michigan.
Nope. Nope. I digress. Michigan made one person's bracket.
I wonder whose that was.
Here's a hint. He's white. 248-539-9797.
That's not a hint.
That's.
Hey!
Go to the ticket text. Jeez, man. Come on.
I am a Penn State fan, and thank you for having us go 10-2. However, as Kenny G. Cott said before, Penn State is Big Ten good, but not national championship good. Don't see us beating Florida State. Need to fix that. Rico.
No, but here's the thing. Overall, doesn't this put – it actually does add a layer to coaching and coaching security, job security. Think about it. There are plenty of places where now it won't be good enough to make the playoff. That if you make the playoff and are not winning or not making a run, it's another layer. Like – I saw a list yesterday.
It becomes a catch-22 where it used to be the 9-win season.
Well, I think Ryan Day's in that spot. Let's think about it. Ryan Day's going to win basically 10 or 11 games a year every year, right?
Mm-hmm.
He can't lose to Michigan again. But even then, let's say they beat Michigan and they get upset in the first round of the playoff. It gets to a point. All right, David, couple of ticket texts and then just a couple of questions, right? Rico giving the bracket. And it just gives us a real look at how this will be structured and what the end of the regular season looks like. I mean, admittedly, I don't love this, but I'm not going to tell you that the games aren't interesting. Like Rico's projections, and whether I agree or slightly disagree, he's off the hook because he's all aboard the Miami train this year. So, I mean, he's in my good graces. But, like, it is theater. It is a made-for-TV product. The problem is, at least on paper, and we'll only know once they start doing this, we ended up right in the same spot. It's as if you didn't have a playoff.
But we kind of end up that way anyway.
I know. I'm just saying we've just basically padded your friends at the network's pockets. But let's see what the people have to say. I don't have any real issue with your bracket. The only quibble, and I wasn't going to stop it because you were a freight train coming down the tracks, is the Oregon OSU thing. Like they play each other.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, if OSU is the higher seed, you're saying OSU's going to Outson and winning. I don't know about that.
No. I'm saying OSU's beating them in Indianapolis.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, also.
And that's why.
Big Ten championship game feels a lot less special.
And that, no, because that's why they're the 3 seed. Because, yeah, you got to be at least, you got to win that game to jump Miami.
Yeah. David, what do the ticket texts have to say?
John in Auburn Hills says, hey guys, Oregon will be winning the Big Ten. As Mike says, they are built for the SEC, and Ryan's Day mine has been destroyed by Michigan.
You know, hold on. Can I say something real quick?
No.
Okay.
I'm kidding. Oh. I don't care.
Well, you know, we only say what you say.
Okay, then.
Hey, it's I will Tom. Say this. Here's the thing about Oregon. As much as as good as they were, Washington just went through them multiple times last year.
I'm aware. Okay? I lost betting on them twice. Thank you.
So, you know, and Ohio State, I think, will do kind of the same game plan against them. I think they'll lose. Ohio State will lose the first time around, but they will beat them in Indianapolis.
Rico needs to be drug tested. Will Howard sucks. That is Austin in Flint.
You know, I want to say this. Like, I don't want to make a habit of this, but you guys get so riled up and say some of the meanest things in the world. Like, wait, why does Rico need to be drug tested for an opinion of, wait for it, okay, because, Ohio State in the playoffs?
No, because I'm giving Ohio State credit, and the majority of people listening are Michigan fans. How dare I think that Ohio State could win the Big Ten?
Dude, they spent $32 million this offseason. Like this,
so that's why.
Okay.
I get it. It's tribalism at its best, as you said yesterday.
So
if you're a Michigan fan, everything that I said you hate because I got Ohio State and I got Notre Dame in
or
there.
Or it's just real.
But here's the thing: tell that texter, Odyssey Rewind, go back this morning, and you'll be able to have fun listening to what John predicted.
I don't even want to know. Probably best that I don't know.
Correct. I believe Michigan gets in 10-2 win over Texas, loses to Ohio State and Oregon. Also, don't sleep on NC State. Another one from Steve says, as a Buckeye fan, I hate it and love it, Rico. Love that you have us going to the championship game. Hate that you have us losing it.
Look, this Georgia team is out for blood. And there's no world they weren't one of the four best teams last year.
Yeah, they lost at the wrong
time. No, Kirby coached like a bitch, gave a free square to his old boss as a send-off.
I said it a better way, but
no,
yes.
No. I'm saying what Kenny said.
You just hate to see it.
No, it has nothing to do with Michigan. Michigan was in regardless. I'm making a point. There was no way UW should have been in over Georgia. But I understand it has to be played on the field at a certain point, and that's why they got in.
Georgia shouldn't be in the playoff.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh, call your buddy in Vegas and get the over-under on how many of Rico's teams make the playoffs. I'll say 6.5.
Let me see this. Since we're in the business of slandering Rico, I think the most difficult one to predict is going to be the 12.
Correct.
Right? So yes. your poverty team. I like that he took a swing with Memphis. Hannigan's back for year 50. That offense will average 45. But let's just view the 12 that's got to just be a lotto ticket. Oregon, I say yes. FSU, I say no. Penn State, I say yes. LSU, no. Bama, yes. That's three. Notre Dame, four. I could give that. I don't believe in Kansas State. Miami, yes, five. Georgia, yes, six. OSU, yes, seven. Utah, eight. Set the over-under at 7.5. Does that seem fair?
No, it does. But the Kansas State, I just think
And it's a difference of opinion.
But the reason why, like going through this, I felt like I was going through one of your cast of ticket deep dives. They get all their tough games
you don't want to do home. That.
See, but
you want no part of the vortex that it takes to put that crap together. Well,
I get to start doing some stuff next week, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. See, but here's the thing, Rico, and we talked about this off the air. When you're selecting your playoff, 1 through 6 is probably easy.
It is.
Everything after that you can go through multiple people in this office and they'll all have six different answers.
No. Here's the thing. 1 is easy. After 1, I doubt that the three of us have the same top 4 in order.
You know one team that's missing from all of these?
Texas. Clemson.
Michigan. Nope. I digress. Michigan made one person's bracket.
I wonder whose that was.
Here's a hint. He's white. 248-539-9797.
That's not a hint.
That's.
Hey!
Go to the ticket text. Jeez, man. Come on.
I am a Penn State fan, and thank you for having us go 10-2. However, as Kenny G. Cott said before, Penn State is Big Ten good, but not national championship good. Don't see us beating Florida State. Need to fix that. Rico.
No, but here's the thing. Overall, doesn't this put – it actually does add a layer to coaching and coaching security, job security. Think about it. There are plenty of places where now it won't be good enough to make the playoff. That if you make the playoff and are not winning or not making a run, it's another layer. Like – I saw a list yesterday.
It becomes the catch 22 where it used to be the 9-win season.
Well, I think Ryan Day's in that spot. Let's think about it. Ryan Day's going to win basically 10 or 11 games a year every year, right?
Mm-hmm.
He can't lose to Michigan again. But even then, let's say they beat Michigan and they get upset in the first round of the playoff. It gets to a point now where I start to almost think we have to redefine like job security.
Yes. And to the Penn State person out there listening, the reason why I have Penn State beating Florida State.
Because DJU sucks.
The game will be at Happy Valley. So I'm expecting a whiteout in cold weather.
I'm expecting the networks to tell you there aren't enough hotel rooms and the game will be at FSU.
Oh, they have plenty of hotels in Happy Valley.
Tulane Road Inn. That place, it's a weird spot.
It's really
a weird spot.
No. Mike, even the stadium. All four sides of the stadium built differently. Don't believe me? Check it out the next time you go. No consistency.
Or you could just enjoy Spartan Stadium, which all four sides look like crap. 248-539-9797.
I had the under, and you went over.
We're good.
For Spartan slander.
We have football this weekend.
We do.
You also have Travers Day at Saratoga, if you're interested. All right, let's check in on some NFL football. Lots going on, including the slander of a very promising young player, David Musick. Mr. Hatchett, Rico, and Kenny, a quick question from me before we go down the list with David. What do you make of the big kerfuffle with Anthony Richardson and the Bengals, where the Bengals tormented Richardson, mocking him? All he does is run. Hey, you're going to throw the ball at some point? A brutal showing for Richardson in the joint practice. Is it something or is it nothing? Where do we stand on Anthony Richardson of the Colts year two? All right, Rico's stupid look on his face. He hates him.
No, it's not that, Mike. I don't know. He's got a lot of Lamar in him where he relies on his legs a lot. And it's the Achilles heel for Lamar. Hey, we're going to make you throw the ball to beat us because we don't think you can. And I think a lot of teams are going to use that same game plan for Anthony Richardson. Until you go out here and torch us with your arm, we don't think you can do it.
David,
now, I wouldn't have said it. out loud like they did, but I think a lot of people said it quietly.
Well, I'll go the same direction as Kurt Herbstreit last night on Amazon Prime. Clearly, he says they have to figure out what they're going to do with this guy, move on or not. And I'm like, this is the second year. What do you mean move on or not? Let Joe Flacco start?
Herbstreit should stick to college.
I truly think that it's just smoke, okay?
Okay.
He'll be fine. Second year, let him play. We'll see what he truly is.
Kenny, any thoughts? Or because he went to Florida, you're compromised?
No, I lean more towards what David says. I think it's a lot of smoke like he does. And I just want to see how it – I'll be John here. I want to let it play out before I start cursing the guy as much as I would like to because of the Florida thing.
You're baiting me into saying something, and I won't. David, go ahead.
Let's talk about this for a quick second because it happened earlier in the week. Then there was a response from his former coach, but it was Tua against Brian Flores this week.
Oh, that was nasty.
Where Tua basically said that basically he every day was being told that you're trash, you're this, you're that. And the difference between Brian Flores and McDaniel. And Flores came out the next day with two players on each side. And he basically said, look, I have to get better at certain things. I'm not going to say that he's completely wrong, but I do have to get better. Your thoughts on that whole thing?
I think Tua, I'm sorry, but Tua's mine, and I'm going to say this. I think Tua looks like a punk. I think it's weak sauce. Oh, yeah, my coach was mean to me. Dude, you're flourishing. You're about to get $50 million a year, whatever it is. You know what? Shame on Tua. You don't need to air the dirty laundry and do it in specifics. And by the way, it's the NFL. Oh, you suck. Well, I guess Tua couldn't be a radio host then, because you'll hear that a lot. I just thought Tua came across as a real, he came across like the pet that Jim has, and I'll leave it there.
David, I will.
That's my guy. I have a right to say that.
I will say this. I think this is one of those where both could be right, both could be wrong. I think for Flores, realizing it was, I think that was his first real head coaching job. So he probably went in there thinking, I got to be tough guy. I got to do this. I got to do
Bill
that.
Bill Belichick coming right. From Bill, yeah.
And you can't be that way when you don't have the credibility. And then you also have to learn the personnel. And maybe Tua is a guy that he needs positive reinforcement. And even though you want to yell at him, it's going to be counterproductive by you telling him how bad he sucks. Whereas McDaniel comes in, it's like, hey, man, you the man. You the guy.
All right,
I can't
first
live
of all,
without you.
When did McDaniel go from aspiring young NFL head coach to Miami club promoter?
Oh, he is.
What
something.
On earth?
There was that look
the other day. I go, this is amazing.
Side by side on the internet of freshman year versus senior year. Yeah. He has gone all in.
Yeah, he
That's
has.
Awesome.
But I think it's one of those you have to know your player. And he obviously didn't. He went in with that Belichick mind frame, this worked before. And I think it's a lot of coaches fail because you try to be somebody else instead of being yourself.
Yeah, so I've seen this rumor or speculation regarding Ja'Marr Chase, who is still sitting out because he wants a new contract. But there's speculation out there that he may sit out through week one. Do you see that happening?
Yes. Bengals are cheap. He's the best receiver, arguably, in football. He wants his deal. They haven't gotten it done. He's this deep into camp. I'll lean yes.
Yeah. I mean, very similar to what was it Chris Jones did. We're going to sit out.
You're right. Yes.
You need to see what life is going to be without me. So he didn't play last year against the Lions. Ironically enough, Chiefs lose. He got his deal done.
The problem with Chase is he doesn't have 1 year left. He's got two. It's a little more difficult. So, but I'm with Rico. It's a great comp with the Chris Jones thing. Go ahead, David.
Correct, which leads me to this, because there is a wide receiver tandem list that I found here. They have, in honorable mention, they have the Detroit Lions, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Jameson Williams in that honorable mention, Mike Evans and Godwin for the Bucs in that mention. But let me go through what they have here on the actual list.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders, Adams and Myers is number 10. Doesn't make sense to me.
Why?
Because I would put St. Brown and Jameson Williams at 10 over them.
I wouldn't.
Evans and Godwin? I would.
No, hold on. Stick with the Raiders thing with me for a minute. The problem I have is we believe what J-Mo is going to do.
Correct.
But it's about what Myers has done. To establish yourself on this list. Look, Devontae Adams, his efficiency is going down. I think next year at this time, Amon Ra and J-Mo will be on this list. But as we sit here right now, it's not a projection list. It's about right here, right now.
Well, then why not put Evans and Godwin from Tampa Bay? They've both been over 1,000 yards.
Because Godwin doesn't have any cartilage left in his knees. He's blown out his knee like 17 times.
That
Go
is
ahead.
Fair.
I'm sorry.
Number nine, the Dallas Cowboys, CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks.
One dude wants a deal and ain't playing. The other guy, if the wind blows too hard, he's out 3 weeks. I don't like this at all.
America's team.
America.
Number eight, the Chicago Bears are DJ Moore and Keenan Allen.
Maybe. Allen looks, people are saying he's Allen baked. Looks terrible in camp.
He's baked, I think.
But they have Rome Odunze as the insurance policy.
He kind of became their third receiver. You know, what we're looking for here in Detroit.
Number seven, Houston Texans with Diggs and Collins.
Love. And Tank. What about Tank?
It's a duo. Ah, it's man. A duo.
He's their third receiver. That's what we need here in Detroit. Too bad you couldn't get him.
Why are you doing this?
Number six, Rams.
He wasn't available.
Cup and Nacua.
100% for the Rams. 100%.
Your team at number
really?
Five.
I would have actually, I would have them a little bit higher.
Well, let's see. Let's see. Number five, your team, the 49ers with Samuel and Ayuk.
I would take the Rams.
With number four would be the Bengals with Chase and Higgins.
Love. Love. I just wish T. Higgins would demand a trade to the Giants. That's all I need.
Why?
Because I love T. Higgins.
What did he do to you, man?
Dude, I'm desperate. I got nothing. All right,
Who's
leave me alone.
Throw him the ball? You?
I'll take him in Pittsburgh.
Now, you guys are too cheap. Seriously, we got the Pimani Brothers sandwich. You don't want that.
Those sandwiches are so overrated.
They are.
We'll
they
give
are.
You Pittsburgh Pirates season tickets if you come here.
Oh, you give those away. Number three, Minnesota Vikings with Jefferson and Addison.
Here's the problem. Addison's got a suspension coming up.
Correct.
Yeah, I was about to say, Addison is, I would bring that one down a little bit.
Number two, the Eagles with A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith.
Yes, and by the way, how about Howie Roseman basically getting Jahan Dotson for free?
Yes.
How did he pull that off?
He's Howie Roseman. I don't know. There's like a blood oath with Satan or something.
Division deal of getting this guy.
I mean, I know you're not into these types of movies, Mike, but he went full Jedi mind trick. You do not want Jahan Dotson. You want to send him.
Dotson hasn't blossomed into that wideout one that they drafted him to be. He hasn't had good quarterback play. They have no offensive line. They have a lot of mouths to feed.
No, but I'm saying
I would have loved Dotson on my team.
Right. He went full Obi-Wan. These are not the droids that you're looking
for. I'm giving you this and you're going to love it.
I think we'll give you this, and we'll love it.
Number one will be the
I'm
going
to have to Google this. I'm really not sure what we're speaking of here.
The Dolphins with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle.
Yeah. And again, the only knock there, Waddle is constantly hurt. He was hurt again in camp. Can't stay healthy.
So why not? Why Debo and Ayuk going down?
No, I like the Rams duo better. That's all. Okay. I mean, Debo, look, when it goes for Debo, it's going to go off the cliff. I worry about him. He plays
Sean Alexander.
Yeah, he just plays so physical. He's like Isaiah Pacheco for wide receivers.
Yeah.
Every time Debo touches the ball, he wants to paralyze someone. That wears on you, man. Look at the shoulder injury list. He tries to kill people.
No, he does.
And that is in football today.
All right, let's check in on some NFL football. Lots going on, including the slander of a very promising young player, David Musick. Mr. Hatchett, Rico, and Kenny, a quick question from me before we go down the list with David. What do you make of the big kerfuffle with Anthony Richardson and the Bengals, where the Bengals tormented Richardson, mocking him? All he does is run. Hey, you're going to throw the ball at some point? A brutal showing for Richardson in the joint practice. Is it something or is it nothing? Where do we stand on Anthony Richardson of the Colts year two? All right, Rico's stupid look on his face. He hates him.
No, it's not that, Mike. I don't know. He's got a lot of Lamar in him where he relies on his legs a lot, and it's the Achilles heel for Lamar. Hey, we're going to make you throw the ball to beat us because we don't think you can, and I think a lot of teams are going to use that same game plan for Anthony Richardson. Until you go out here and torch us with your arm, we don't think you can do it.
Damn.
Now, I wouldn't have said it out loud like they did, but I think a lot of people said it quietly.
Well, I'll go the same direction as Kurt Herbstreit last night on Amazon Prime. Clearly, he says they have to figure out what they're going to do with this guy, move on or not. And I'm like, this is the second year. What do you mean move on or not? Let Joe Flacco start?
Herbstreit should stick to college.
I truly think that It's just smoke, okay?
Okay.
He'll be fine. Second year, let him play. We'll see what he truly is.
Kenny, any thoughts? Or because he went to Florida, you're compromised?
No, I lean more towards what David says. I think it's a lot of smoke like he does. And I just want to see how it – I'll be John here. I want to let it play out before I start cursing the guy as much as I would like to because of the Florida thing.
You're baiting me into saying something, and I won't. David, go ahead.
Let's talk about this for a quick second because it happened earlier in the week. Then there was a response from his former coach, but it was Tua against Brian Flores this week.
Oh, that was nasty.
Where Tua basically said that basically he every day was being told that you're trash, you're this, you're that. And the difference between Brian Flores and McDaniel. And Flores came out the next day with two players on each side. And he basically said, look, I have to get better at certain things. I'm not going to say that he's completely wrong, but I do have to get better. Your thoughts on that whole thing?
I think Tua, I'm sorry, but Tua's mine, and I'm going to say this. I think Tua looks like a punk. I think it's weak sauce. Oh, yeah, my coach was mean to me. Dude, you're flourishing. You're about to get $50 million a year, whatever it is. You know what? Shame on Tua. You don't need to air the dirty laundry and do it in specifics. And by the way, it's the NFL. Oh, you suck. Well, I guess Tua couldn't be a radio host then, because you'll hear that a lot. I just thought Tua came across as a real, he came across like the pet that Jim has. And I'll leave it there.
David, I was...
That's my guy. I have a right to say that.
I will say this. I think this is one of those where both could be right, both could be wrong. I think for Flores, realizing it was, I think that was his first real head coaching job. So he probably went in there thinking, I got to be tough guy. I got to do this. I got to do
Bill
that.
Bill Belichick coming right. From Bill. Yeah.
And you can't be that way when you don't have the credibility. And then you also have to learn the personnel, and maybe Tua is a guy that he needs positive reinforcement. And even though you want to yell at him, it's going to be counterproductive by you telling him how bad he sucks. Whereas McDaniel comes in and is like, hey, man, you the man. You the guy.
All right,
I can't live
all,
without you.
When did McDaniel go from aspiring young NFL head coach to Miami club promoter?
Oh, he is.
What
something.
On earth?
There was that look
the other day. I go, this is amazing.
Side by side on the internet of freshman year versus senior year. Yeah. He has gone all in.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
But I think it's one of those you have to know your player, and he obviously didn't. He went in with that Belichick mind frame, this worked before. And I think it's a lot of coaches fail because you try to be somebody else instead of being yourself.
Yeah, so I've seen this rumor or speculation regarding Ja'Marr Chase, who is still sitting out because he wants a new contract. But there's speculation out there that he may sit out through week one. Do you see that happening?
Yes. Bengals are cheap. He's the best receiver, arguably, in football. He wants his deal. They haven't gotten it done. He's this deep into camp. I'll lean yes.
Yeah. I mean, very similar to what was it, Chris... Chris Jones did. We're going to sit out.
You're right. Yes.
You need to see what life is going to be without me. So he didn't play last year against the Lions. Ironically enough, Chiefs lose. He got his deal done.
The problem with Chase is he doesn't have 1 year left. He's got two. It's a little more difficult. So, but I'm with Rico. It's a great comp with the Chris Jones thing. Go ahead, David.
Correct. Which leads me to this, because there is a... wide receiver tandem list that I found here. They have, in honorable mention, they have the Detroit Lions, Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams in that honorable mention, Mike Evans and Godwin for the Bucs in that mention. But let me go through what they have here on the actual list.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders, Adams and Myers is number 10. Doesn't make sense to me.
Why?
Because I would put St. Brown and Jameson Williams at 10 over them.
I wouldn't.
Evans and Godwin?
No, hold on. Stick with the Raiders thing with me for a minute. The problem I have is we believe what J-Mo is going to do.
Correct.
But it's about what Myers has done to establish yourself on this list. Look, Davante Adams, his efficiency is going down. I think next year at this time, Amon-Ra and J-Mo will be on this list. But as we sit here right now, it's not a projection list. It's about right here, right now.
Well, then why not put Evans and Godwin from Tampa Bay? They've both been over 1,000 yards.
Because Godwin doesn't have any cartilage left in his knees. He's blown out his knee like 17 times.
That is fair.
I'm sorry.
Number nine, the Dallas Cowboys, CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks.
One dude wants a deal and ain't playing. The other guy, if the wind blows too hard, he's out 3 weeks. I don't like this at all.
America's team.
America.
Number eight, the Chicago Bears are DJ Moore and Keenan Allen.
Maybe. Allen looks... People are saying Allen looks terrible in camp.
He's baked, I think.
But they have Roma Dunze as the insurance policy.
He kind of became their third receiver. You know, what we're looking for here in Detroit.
Number seven, Houston Texans with Diggs and Collins.
Love. And Tank. What about Tank?
It's a duo.
It's a duo.
He's their third receiver. That's what we need here in Detroit. Too bad you couldn't get him.
Why are you doing this?
Number six, Rams.
He wasn't available.
Cup and Nacua.
100% for the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Your team at number five.
I would have them a little bit higher.
Well, let's see. Let's see. Number five, your team, the 49ers with Samuel and Ayuk.
I would take the Rams.
With number four would be the Bengals with Chase and Higgins.
Love. Love. I just wish T. Higgins would demand a trade to the Giants. That's all I need.
Why?
Because I love T. Higgins.
What did he do to you, man?
Dude, I'm desperate. I got nothing. All right?
Who's going to throw him the ball? You?
I'll take him in Pittsburgh.
No, you guys are too cheap. Seriously, we got the Pimani Brothers sandwich. You don't want that.
Those sandwiches are so overrated.
They are.
We'll give you Pittsburgh Pirates season tickets if you come here.
Oh, you give those away. Number three, Minnesota Vikings with Jefferson and Addison.
Here's the problem. Addison's got a suspension coming up.
Correct.
Yeah, I was about to say, I would bring that one down a little bit.
Number two, the Eagles with A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith.
Yes, and by the way, how about Howie Roseman basically getting Jahan Dotson for free?
Yes.
How did he pull that off?
He's Howie Roseman. I don't know. There's like a blood oath with Satan or something.
Division deal of getting this guy.
I mean, I know you're not into these types of movies, Mike, but he went full Jedi mind trick. You do not want Jahan Dotson.
Dotson hasn't blossomed into that wideout one that they drafted him to be. He hasn't had good quarterback play. They have no offensive line. They have a lot of mouths to feed.
No, but I'm saying
I would have loved Dotson on my team.
Right. He went full Obi-Wan. These are not the droids
I'm giving you this and you're going to love it.
I think we'll give you this and we'll love it.
Number one would be
I'm going to have to Google this. I'm really not sure what we're speaking of here.
The Dolphins with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle.
Yeah. And again, the only knock there, Waddle is constantly hurt. He was hurt again in camp. Can't stay healthy.
So why not? Why Debo and Ayuk going down?
No, I like the Rams duo better. That's all. Okay. I mean, no, Debo, look, when it goes for Debo, it's going to go off the cliff. I worry about him. He plays
Alexander.
Yeah, he just plays so physical. He's like Isaiah Pacheco for wide receivers.
Yeah.
Every time Debo touches the ball, he wants to paralyze someone. That wears on you, man. Look at the shoulder injury list. He tries to kill people.
No, he does.
And that is In Football Today.